You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, everybody, welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Hope you guys are having a good week. This is episode 83. It's the end of January. You guys have almost made it. We've almost made it through that month, month before things start getting better? This is assuming that you are going off of the real world that you experience day to day, not social media and the news, which I realize the news is full of stuff that's actually happening. I mean, in theory. I mean, you can cut out. There's a lot of the news that's just like, oh my God, this was said. This was tweeted. I wish you could filter out everything not related to Twitter. You know, every single thing written that does not, that is not involved with a tweet. Like, I wish there was some way to do that, but there's not yet. I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of filter. I'm going to have to look to see if I can filter out the word Twitter and the word tweet through Google News or something. See if that's able to do. Because I just hid all articles from Vox.com. I'm like, ooh, I can do that? I can make sure that Vox never comes up? Great. Suddenly my life got better. Like, it just immediately was just like, oh, yeah. I don't have liberals in their 20s talking down to me. Fuck, this is great. Let me add Vice too. So this happened. This is what I wanted to talk about today. Actually, I didn't know I was going to talk about this, but this just happened. So this is what we're going to do. But I was on the bus. I was riding the bus back from downtown. I just went to see a movie. Went to see The Gentlemen. It's a Guy Ritchie film with Matthew McConaughey and Hugh Grant and Charlie Hunnam, Sons of Anarchy dude, and several other people. And it's basically, and I've been waiting for this movie or a movie like it for a long time, because Guy Ritchie hasn't done a crime film in like 13 years. So it's a return to his, you know, British crime type of shit. Like, I like, most of you have not seen Rock and Rolla, but I really enjoyed that. But you probably have seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and then also Snatch. So it's nice to see him do something that I'm comfortable with him doing. Now, I like the Sherlock Holmes films, and I'm sure there's a couple others I need to check out that, you know, Man from U.N.C.L.E. or whatever, that he's probably fine. He did an okay job with, but it just seems like to me what, you know, he directed that live-action Aladdin film that just... You know, I'm hoping that the reason, you know, you do a shitty movie like that, but you get all the money, and it's like, all right, now I can make this, you know, and lose money on this, but at least it's something that I enjoy doing. But it's a fine movie. It's great. It's like a B minus, I would give it. Like, I enjoyed it. Rent it. You know, I had a gift card, so I saw it in the theater. Because I've been waiting for it. So I saw it in the theater and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's one of those movies that I really enjoy and that I know I'll watch again. And someone like, so do you recommend it? And I'm like, not for you. Like, there's just movies that I know. It's like that movie Smoking Aces that came out where they're all trying to kill, the guy. And they all... it's just kind of a clusterfuck movie. It's not very good, but it's nice and violent, and it's, you know, like, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody, but I enjoyed it. I like violent crime films, and that, you know, does not matter as long as it's watchable. Like, it doesn't have to be great, but it's definitely one of those things that, you know, that's it's in that group of movies that I'm like, I'm not going to recommend this, that you watch this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They were all trying to kill Jeremy Piven. And it's like, yeah, get in line. Smoking aces. Anyway, so the movie was fine. It's a good movie. But the weird thing was is that I'm on the bus coming home, and you know, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm coming back from downtown on the bus that goes through UT campus, like down the drag, and then through campus to my apartment complex. So it's a packed bus. It's full because it's almost 5. People are getting out of classes and whatever else. And incidentally, I saw the movie in a completely empty theater. Just me and one guy who was like 60 years old, who's like laughing at the same stuff that I was laughing at, kind of the dark humor shit. So basically it was me and a guy who's like me in 20 years. So that's who, you know, just two older men, white men watching British crime in the, you know, at 2:00 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. So that's what was going on. So I'm on a packed bus. So it's a busy time of the day. So a lot of students, a lot of people on the bus. And all of the seats are taken, and there are students standing up, like wearing backpacks, and they're standing and they're all waiting. And it's not like a super crowded, you know, claustrophobic situation, but all the seats are taken and people are standing, and we're fine, but it's, you know, it's crowded. It's a busy time. And no one is sitting next to me. There is an empty seat next to me, and no one is taking the seat. There are people standing. And I don't understand. The whole time, this is a 25-minute bus ride, all right? Water, thank you. 25-minute bus ride, nobody sits next to me. And I'm not like the man spreading, the, you know, like really spreading my knees out there, just really taking up space. I'm 150 fucking pounds. That's a lie. I'm like 145. But I wish I had 5 extra pounds of, you know, muscle and aggression. Anyway, all right, so 145 pounds probably. I haven't weighed myself recently. I don't change much. I don't vary in weight. So I'm not big. I don't take up a lot of space. I'm also not mean mugging. Like, I'm not hostile. I'm not showing off hostility. I'm not being aggressive. I'm not giving people stink eyes. Like, I'm not, you've seen, people who know me, you've seen me. Like, when I'm in a mood, I wasn't in a mood. In fact, I was actually feeling really, really like, man, that was a great movie. It's nice to see all those fuckers be all cool and shit. You know what? I'm cool like them. That kind of shit you do in your head when you're like, yeah, we're cool kind of stuff. So I'm actually not giving much of a shit. I don't have anything else to do the rest of the day other than record this podcast. And I don't have a deadline on that shit. So like, I can post this whenever. So it's not like I'm in a rush. So I'm not in a hurry. I'm not aggressive. I'm not giving off shit, any kind of bullshit. We're just, you know, so I'm not giving off a vibe. Also, I showered today. I fucking showered today because I got my hair cut. Everything's fine. I smell fantastic, I guess. You know, at the very least, I smell the best I can smell. It's good. I didn't run a marathon before I got on the bus. You know, I didn't CrossFit. So I don't understand. I don't know what the deal is. I'm not dressed as a bum, I think. I'm wearing a hoodie, but I'm not. That's the thing. I've got my glasses on. I am not threatening. But that's the thing. My girlfriend thinks that my glasses make me look older than when I don't wear them. And I reluctantly agree because they're the, you know, black rimmed glasses. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a picture. That's going to be the picture of this podcast episode, is going to be a picture of me. And I think we'll just call it, "Would you sit next to this man on the bus?" That's what we're going to, you know what? That's what we're going to do. So I'm going to write that fucking shit down. Give me a second. I got to write this down. All right. So we're back. So that's the thing, is I don't, you know, I'm unshaven, but I'm always unshaven, but I'm not really threatening. And I don't, you know, so is it a creep factor look? Maybe I give off the vibe of that man does not want me to sit next to them. Or it could be that I was the oldest person on the bus, it felt like, more than likely. There might have been another guy who's around my age there that I kind of remember maybe, but no, it was just, so I'm wondering, so is it like, because it was a lot of college students, because we went through campus, so are they trying to stay away from me because they're afraid that age is contagious? They're like, hey, I'm going to stick with my own kind, the young kind. We don't sit next to Generation X. Ooh, I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I don't know if the glasses make me look creepy, but I wasn't staring at, see, that's the thing. I was looking at my phone. I was watching Radiohead perform live. That's actually what I was doing. So maybe that was it. Maybe they were kind of walking by and they saw, oh, goddamn elitist from the 90s, you know, there's a fossil there. Nobody sit next to the fossil who's stuck in his own music. There's nothing relevant about that fucker right there. We're not sitting next. I don't want to get the uncool gene. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's the thing, is that, like, why is a man that old on the bus in the afternoon? Shouldn't he be at work? Like, I don't know if that's what they were thinking. There's obviously something wrong for that man to take public transportation. Look at him. He should have a job. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. And the reason that and here's the real reason. It's like, what's the matter, John? Are you being self-conscious? Is there a reason that you've taken half to most of your podcast episode to trying to figure out why no one would sit next to you on the bus ride? Is it self-esteem? No, I'm fine. I actually quite enjoy myself. I think I'm okay. I want to know what it is, and if it's a vibe that I can replicate, because having no one sit next to you on the bus fucking rules. That's just great. If I could just do this every time, like if I could figure out, I should have done? I should have asked people standing why they didn't sit next to me. You know, just be honest, sir, be honest. Why didn't you sit next to, what about me made you stand there versus sitting down? I'm giving you plenty of space. What's the deal? How weird of a scene would that have been? Like if I just stopped everything, because it was quiet. It was a packed, quiet bus. Let everybody in their own world, and then just out of nowhere, hey, you, why won't you sit next to me? What is it, young fucker? Like, why? Yeah, I don't know if that would have been necessarily the best move. Maybe I would have gotten some answers, though. I don't know. I just wanted to stand. Like, I don't know what he would have said. So maybe it's a good thing that I didn't. But I would love to be able to do that every time. Because, you know, I mean, I have the whole seat to myself for 25 minutes. It's fucking great. It just was bizarre. That's all I'm getting at. It was a bizarre trip. Anyway, thank you for letting me get all that out. I'm still just, you know, and if you have an idea, if you see it in a picture, my non-threatening mug on the picture of this episode, just go, I think it's the glasses. I don't know. You can send me a message and let me know. It's like, I don't know if it's the, you probably can't replicate the vibe, the bus versus me taking a selfie in my bathroom. That's not really the same. So I tell you what I'd like to do before I end this particular episode. Already? Yeah, already. No, I've been kind of thinking about, am I continuing to evolve as a person? I think I try to avoid the idea of, you know, self-improvement per se. I like it more of evolving. And that's mainly, you know, that's mainly from ever since, you know, seeing Fight Club. That's really it's Fight Club's fault. The reason that, you know, where they say that self-improvement is masturbation, which I agree with. Because then he goes, you know, but self-destruction on the other hand. It's like, all right. Once you grow out of it, instead of, you know, when you're younger, you're like, yeah, I like to self-destruct. But, you know, but now it's more of a, it's more because of the concept of Alan Watts said in one of his lectures was just about that. You don't need to, there's nothing about yourself that you can't improve who you are. You know, you are who you are, kind of a deal. Kind of the idea of, you know, I've got to make myself better is like, no, you just got to be who you are. I mean, you could do better. You can do things that you enjoy. You can do things that you're supposed to do. But like just the idea, and I think it's the mentality of that I got to improve myself. So evolving, I like, is better, is where you're constantly, you know, looking to change. Because, we do change slowly over the years. Anyway, I think what I've been doing, I don't know if I've mentioned it, relearning Spanish. No, that implies that I knew Spanish before, other than just the classes in school. But I got to tell you, using that app Duolingo has actually worked for me. I actually used it almost every day. Like there's some days that I've had to skip, but you know, but we're talking like definite, like 460 days I have used that. We're learning different, you know, phrases and words and stuff and greetings and all that shit. But it's been interesting because it's an app. It's made me consistently do it every day, give or take, you know, skipping, missing my midnight deadline to do it that day, maybe four or five times out of those 160 days. So out of 165 days, I've done it 160 times. So it's just having it kind of, you know, as an app on your phone where you do it daily versus some other stupid game or something that I could play when I'm bored has actually helped me keep doing that. And, you know, it's something I've stuck with versus the other kind of programs. So if you're ever thinking about learning a language, a different language, now this is, you know, it doesn't have a whole lot of practice. You're not, it's more of a, it's going to help you learn the words and like, it's really going to help with reading it and hearing it. Not so much, putting it into action. You're going to have to, do that on your own, obviously. I don't think an app's going to be able to get you, you know, fluent. But it's definitely a good start. Anyway, I recommend that. And I've been working out on a regular basis again. So that's been, I've definitely missed that. And it's amazing how just a little bit of fucking exercise just kind of just makes things better. It's real easy when you're, you know, January is kind of a poor month. You're just getting out of the holidays and whatever thing you were doing. You know, you haven't gotten your W-2s. If you're one of those type of people, they get their returns. So it's like it's a real thin month. Nobody has any money. Nobody wants to go do anything. So it's real easy to stay at home a lot. But the exercise has been great. There is a thing that one last thing that I'd like to mention. I saw a friend of mine had posted on Facebook, just asking people to encourage him to continue to be sober. It kind of reminded me of this because I sent him a message and he got over 100 comments of people encouraging him and everything, which is really great because, you know, most of those people are not sober, but they want him to be sober. And that's great. So I wanted to share that for anyone who might be listening to this and they're sober, but they're having a hard time with it, or just in general, they're trying to quit something. If you're trying to quit something, or you're trying to start something new, and you've got something that you're quitting, and you're feeling weak about it, you're getting that panic, because that's what's going on. Is you've got this panic going on. You're restless, bored. You know, it's that urge is there and it's in your head and you're not thinking very clearly and you can't sit still. You don't want to do anything else. And you're like, fuck, I need something told to me and I need something for this to pass. And it's going to pass, but it's not passing. You know, you're right in the middle of it and it's peaking and you're like, fuck, what am I going to do? This is really hitting me. And there's a lot of people are going to tell you, you've worked so hard. You've come this far. Don't quit now. And that's great. I mean, that's not nothing, but it's weird when you're in the middle of it, don't quit now, because you're sitting there going, that's not encouraging. Because, you almost need a reason other than, don't be a quitter. No, because it's like, yeah, but why have I been quitting this whole time? Like, you need encouragement to be reminded why you stopped in the first place. So you need to be reminded that there's a reason that you stopped, that bad things happen when you get fucked up. Or when you do that thing, you're quitting. Obviously, there's a reason that, try to remember why you quit in the first place. Do you remember why? What was going on in your life that thing was screwing everything up? Why did you stop in the first place? But what I messaged my friend was this. I said, because the reason that you don't want to go out and drink is because nothing new will happen. You have covered, this is well-worn territory for you to cover, because for however long that you've been drinking, for me, for 2 decades, well-worn territory. There is nothing new that you can experience. There's nothing new that you're going to go, wow, this is great. I'm glad I'm here. This has never happened to me before. It's all the same shit. It's the same, is this a different bar? It's the same bar. It might as well be the same bar. It doesn't matter what the art's on the walls. Doesn't matter what albums are on the jukebox, what songs are being played. Doesn't matter what the bartenders look like. Doesn't matter if you're trying a new drink. It's the fucking same. And it's not, you're not going to experience anything new. And in fact, what'll happen is because it's nothing new, and because it's something that, that wasn't fulfilling anymore, which is why you quit in the first place, what's going to happen is you'll go, you'll drink again. That panic will finally go away because you're like, oh. You'll have this momentary release followed by immediate disappointment. And you won't be able to fucking enjoy your drink and your buzz because you'll be like, fuck. Totally not worth it. Because the panic will go away and you'll go, shit. So all you're left is with is disappointment. And they're like, well, I guess I'll start over. So the panic will go away and you're left with disappointment. Versus if you ride it out, the panic goes away. And you're like, oh, all right. I made that through. I was kind of crazy there for a second. But it finally went away. And sometimes that sucks because you're sitting there going, oh man, this is hard. Do I have to deal with this all the time? And you don't. This doesn't happen all the time. But hopefully if you get through it and you come back down and you're not being crazy anymore and you're not losing your mind going, I got to get to a bar. You know, I got to go to the store and buy a drink. I got to call my dealer, whatever it is. When you get on the other side, hopefully it's encouraging that when you ride it out, you're like, fuck, I rode it out. I made it. I made it to the other side. I can fucking do this. I didn't go, you know, I didn't revert. I didn't go back, do the same shit I was doing because this is who I am now. Why would I do that? We've got new things to figure out. Got new things to try out. Who am I today? Who am I going to be? You know, but anyway, that's the reason. That's the reason you don't go back and do the thing that you did because it's time for some new shit. That's it for me this week, you guys. Thanks for joining me. This has been Yes. Yes, I'm still sober. I'm John Rabin. Later.